You found something?
Yes, my lord.
That's it. The rebels are there.
My lord, there are so many uncharted settlements.
That is the system. Set your course for the Hoth system.
As long as everybody behaves, this will be quick and painless.
Did you hear that? We're doomed.
Welcome to Echo Base, your weekly water cooler discussion exploring Star Wars news, issues, mythology, and understanding that galaxy far, far away.
We will use all our resources to unravel this mystery.
Dodging Imperial probe droids while leaving no topic unturned in this frozen wasteland.
You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
Now live. Dock the snowspeeders and lock up the tauntauns. It's time for Echo Base.
It's not Tatooine, that's for sure.
All wings report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red 2 standing by. Right now I feel like I could take on the whole Empire myself.
Cut the channel, Red 2.
Standby alert.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the base.
Close the doors.
Yes, sir.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Echo Base. This is episode number 62, recorded May 31st. And apparently, as of today, the sky is falling.
Yes, when is it not in this fandom?
I know. That seems to be the case. A constant state of panic. We'll get to that in a little bit. First of all, Chris and Lou, how was your Memorial Day weekend?
Well, they did hire Lucasfilm.
What's that, Lou?
I said they hired that new guy over there, Mr. Little. I think his first name's Chicken.
Oh! Okay, that wasn't that good.
Come on, I'm here all week.
You get points for effort, though, so that's good.
Thank you.
So, anything new with you guys? Holiday weekend? Good, bad?
Not really.
I had a birthday.
Oh, happy birthday! Ooh. You survived another year.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thankfully, because then I got to see The Force Awakens.
Yes, see?
Exactly.
If you can just make it through this year, you might get to see Rogue One. Though I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, the way the news is going. Well, you know, let's just jump into that. We have a lot of little things in the news this week. And then one big panic-inducing news item. Wow. So the Han Solo film is scheduled to start shooting early next year, early 2017. Which, it's kind of, it's exciting, but it's also, like, not exciting. It's like, okay, well, yeah, that makes sense. But it's cool because, you know, it's going to be starting soon, and that makes it, like, official and more tangible. And so that's a good thing in the sense that hopefully we'll start getting more information about casting and things like that, so.
Well, you'd think we'd have casting news before they start to shoot, so.
I hope
so.
That's hopeful, yeah. I mean, even if we don't get the news, I hope they get the news. Like, I hope they know who's cast before they shoot. Dave Filoni has made a couple of announcements recently. First of all, two new Rebels episodes. Presumably, the first two from season 3 will debut at Celebration Europe. So if you're going to that... that's pretty exciting. Joel, you'll have to go sit in on that that panel and report back to us. Joel will be our unofficial correspondent. Also, and this is the big one, and I don't know how much we want to talk about it. It's not really a spoiler. It's all pure speculation. But Dave Filoni has been teasing that there might be an appearance of a Legends character in season 3 of Rebels. And I think we talked before about the possibility that this could be Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Ooh, nice.
Now, I don't...
But will it be the Thrawn that we know?
Well, that's the big question.
Yeah.
Even if it is Thrawn, what will change? What aspects of Thrawn will be there, and what will change in accordance with the new chronology?
He's going to be pink instead of blue.
Oh, that'd be awesome. So with I don't think anything... Eyes. Nothing's really been officially... Nothing's been substantiated to really make us believe that it's Thrawn. Up until just recently, Filoni tweeted a picture, I believe it was on Twitter, of a hardcover book, the spine of a hardcover book with the dust jacket removed. And people have analyzed the photo, of course, because it's the internet, and they believe it to be from Heir to the Empire. Which, of course, is the first book in the Thrawn trilogy. So that, I guess, is fairly well substantiating this rumor. Are you guys
interesting
at all interested in having Thrawn appear in Rebels? Is this good? Is this bad? Don't care?
I'm indifferent about it. I don't really care.
Okay.
I like the character in the books, although the more we drag this kind of stuff out, the longer the whole argument about, legends and you killed my fandom and, all that stuff just keeps dragging on. It's like, if you're going to have it, great. If you're not going to have it, no big deal to me. But I wonder how this is going to play out with the rest of the stuff going forward. How does that play into the movies, and how does it play into the rest of the books coming out? If it really is Thrawn.
Well, we've already had rumors that Snoke is Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Yeah.
So, we've already checked that one off of our bucket list there. So, I don't know. I think that this could be really good. I've always thought that Thrawn was one of the best villains ever introduced in the Star Wars galaxy. So, if they do it right, and by right, I mean if they write him well. If he's a solid character, if he's portrayed as a force to be reckoned with, and, if he lasts more than an episode or two before they kill him off, nonsense, stuff like that, then I would get really excited about this. I'm liking this idea.
Mm.
But Lou, you bring up a really good point too. Is this going to just reignite the whole, thing, the issue with legends being it doesn't count anymore? And they've been saying all along, listen, we're going to pull stuff from legends, and once we do, it'll be canon. So is this adding fuel to the fire? Is this going to end up causing even more of these nonsensical petitions that go around every few weeks about, we want you to bring back Jackson? We want our favorite character back in the new chronology and the new canon and all that. I mean, is it going to make it worse? Is it going to calm people down? It really could kind of go either way.
Yeah. See, I think it's going to make it worse. I mean, if they bring him in, they're going to pick and choose stuff from legends to bring into canon. They didn't say they're going to bring it in 100% the way it was. So maybe they pick a name, they pick a planet that,
right.
It may not be the way you remember it. So if they pick, Grand Admiral Thrawn as the name, and it's not the same character, that's going to upset people. Just left it in the book.
Hmm. Okay. Chris, you agree with that?
Yeah. Something just tells me that it would end up backfiring on them.
Well,
even though I have no problem bringing in Legends characters, this is one that I think can be very bad unless it's handled in the absolute most perfect way.
That's true.
Well,
I have a funny feeling we could spawn a whole discussion topic just on the right way to handle Thrawn in future Star Wars content.
We probably
the
could.
Wrong way.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit more about fan involvement fan takeover, hostile takeovers by fans. In the next episode of Random Chatter, there's been some talk on the internet over the last day or so about this topic in general.
Yeah.
And tune into the next episode of Random Chatter. We're going to have some interesting things to say there, I think.
Should be a good discussion.
Oh, yes. All right. Next up in the news, before we get to the main event, Lego The Force Awakens. Have you guys played the Lego games at all?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
You guys like them?
Yeah.
They're all right, yeah.
Okay. I mean, I know they're casual, they're family friendly, they're not like really intense or anything, but we talked before about the fact that the Lego Force Awakens game is going to have some improved game mechanics for the first time in, you know, since Lego's been doing all of their licenses. And they've just revealed details about the Season Pass. And, of course, Season Passes are a bit of a point of controversy in gaming because it's like you pay for the game and now you've got to pay more money to get extra stuff and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But bear with me for a minute. Here's a quick list of what's been revealed for the Season Pass. There are going to be three level packs. Poe's Quest for Survival, which covers Poe Dameron escaping from Jakku and getting back to the Resistance base. The First Order Siege of Takodana, which is going to be the assault on Maz Kanata's castle from Kylo Ren's point of view. And Escape from Starkiller Base, which follows two Resistance pilots and an astromech droid trying to escape the planet before it explodes. Now, each of those level packs are also going to include new characters, a new full-size vehicle, and a new microfighter vehicle. Then there are also character packs. Now, if you get the Season Pass, there's an exclusive character pack for Jedi. It's going to include Aayla Secura, Ki-Adi Mundi, Kit Fisto, Luminara Unduli, Mace Windu, Plo Koon, Sacy Tin, Shaak Ti, the Jedi Interceptor vehicle in both full-size and microfighter forms. That's only for people who get the Season Pass. You can get everything else separately if you want to as well. Those character packs are going to include prequel trilogy characters, the Freemaker Adventures, and Rebels, and Clone Wars. Now, to get all of this, is the Season Pass, a lot of times you pay $60 for the game, and you're paying another $50 for the Season Pass. In this case, the Season Pass is only $9.99.
Wow, that's a steal.
Yeah.
I mean, everything you just mentioned there sounds like enough to be a whole game almost.
Yeah, I was looking at this and I'm like, okay, well, that's a decent amount of stuff. I mean, it's, you know, it's more than just a couple of skins. There's some stuff to do. Okay. They're making it worth it. And then I saw the price, $9.99. I'm like, holy cow. That's nothing for a season pass for a video game these days. So I'm really excited and grateful that they put that as the price point. Now, the game hits June 28th. There's also a deluxe edition available for the next-gen consoles, the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One. This is going to include the main game and the Season Pass and early access to the Empire Strikes Back character pack. And then finally, if you're a PlayStation player, whether the PS3 or the PS4, you will also have access to exclusive download content, which will be the droid character pack and the Phantom Limb level pack. Which I think, isn't that from the C-3PO? I think that's from the C-3PO comic book that just came out recently. So, I guess if you're not a PlayStation player, it's not the end of the world if you miss those.
Not bad, though.
Yeah. So, you know, good news.
Cool.
But bad news.
Panic.
Bad news.
Panic.
Bad news.
Hit your panic buttons, everybody. Yes. This came in now. I didn't realize this until just before we started recording, but apparently the New York Post was the first to talk about these reshoots. But page six at page6.com, a website I'm sure familiar with.
Wait. I don't think our show notes had page six. I must be missing that.
Oh, no, you just got to scroll down further.
I only go like page two.
Well, I was trying to be concise.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Have you guys ever heard of Page6.com?
No, I have not.
I haven't either. Okay, so I don't feel stupid now. They are reporting an exclusive, except apparently it's not exclusive, that their headline is Disney execs in a panic over upcoming Star Wars film. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to read some quotes from this article, and then we're going to come back and actually address these quotes. But I want to throw them all out there first so they can kind of stew in the back of your minds here as we discuss them. And then okay. Just before recording, we got, thanks to Club Jade, we have a little bit more information from the Hollywood Reporter, who also posted a story that's a little more level-headed and perhaps a little bit more insightful. But anyway, Page6. Disney execs in a panic over upcoming Star Wars film. The first Star Wars spinoff, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, is in crisis, and the movie will have to go into expensive reshoots over the summer, sources exclusively confirmed to Page6, and apparently also to everyone else. One Hollywood source told us, quote, "The execs at Disney are not happy with the movie, and Rogue One will have to go back into 4 weeks of expensive reshoots in July." The source added, "Disney won't take a back seat and is demanding changes as the movie isn't testing well." A Disney source added, "The filmmaking team and the studio always anticipated additional shooting and second unit work to make the film the absolute best it can be, and the actors were aware there would be additional shooting. Coming off The Force Awakens, there's an incredibly high bar for this movie, and we have a responsibility to the franchise and to the fans to deliver the best possible movie we can." That quote, again, from a Disney source. So, gosh. Wow. So Disney...
Yeah, I read this today, too, and it's like, oh, I'm reading this. I'm like, okay, is this just somebody blowing something out of proportion? Is it different than any other film that's been out there? I mean, have they treated the Marvel stuff this way from Disney? I mean, a lot of movies get reshoots, right? I mean, that's not something that's unheard of.
No. We should listen.
It's expensive reshoots.
These are expensive reshoots, Lou.
Oh, as opposed to the cheap ones that they just do for free? Is that yeah. What the deal is?
Yeah. And they're in a crisis. Did you not hear the crisis word? It was a direct quote, Lou.
I heard crisis. Yeah, I did hear crisis.
Okay. All right. Disney execs in a panic, and the film is, quote, in crisis. And yet, a few paragraphs later, the filmmaking team in the studio always anticipated additional shooting and second unit work. So yeah. Execs are panicking because what they, quote, always anticipated happening is happening.
Yeah, that doesn't make hardly any sense.
No. Yeah. We always knew there'd be reshoots, and now there are reshoots, so let's panic. Yeah.
But they said they didn't like the way the movie was coming out, so,
Yeah. Yeah, where was it here? The movie isn't testing well. You know how they do, this is kind of a standard thing with Hollywood. They'll do test groups. They'll bring in people off the street. They won't tell them what they're in for. They'll have them watch the film, and then they'll give them surveys afterwards. Sometimes they'll do, they do press screenings and stuff in advance and et cetera, right? So, I mean, yeah. there could be hundreds and hundreds of people who
I don't buy that for a second.
Yeah.
If there were test people out there looking at this movie, we know about it. We talk about that. Come on.
Yeah. And I doubt that this Page6 website would be the first one to get it. I'm thinking, making StarWars.net, Latino review. Yeah.
And I'm thinking expensive reshoots. I mean, their last movie grossed over $2 billion worldwide. How expensive are these reshoots?
Well,
you know, it's like,
it's a Star Wars movie. You know, they're pretty low budget, kind of an independent film. They don't have a lot of money to work with.
Oh, I don't know. I, I read this at lunch today, and I actually started chuckling to myself. I was glad I was in the lunchroom alone, because people have been looking at me like, he's lost it. He's really lost it.
Yeah.
Listen, you know, the only part about this article that I think could even be remotely close to being true is where they said, coming off The Force Awakens, there's an incredibly high bar for this movie, and we have a responsibility to the franchise and to the fans to deliver the best possible movie we can.
Yeah.
Now, I can see that mindset being true. I just don't think it actually occurred.
Yeah. And I don't think that anybody in their right mind is going to expect this to be as good as one of the saga films. I don't think Bob Iger or anybody below him at Disney is expecting this to meet or exceed Star Wars The Force Awakens.
I mean, I doubt they think that even Episode 8 will meet or exceed what The Force Awakens did. I mean,
right. Sequels never do.
Right. Perfect story. It was pent up demand. It happened. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. The next one's going to be very well received by the audience, probably, and a lot of people are going to go see it, but is it going to do half what Force Awakens did? You know, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I think it would do half. I would gamble 75%, but I mean, the middle part of a trilogy generally does not do as well as, I mean, the initial movie does the best, and then generally the third movie does the second best at the box office, and then the middle movie is kind of in last place when it comes to box office results. So, you know, there's that, but I can understand. The other part of this I can kind of believe is that it hasn't tested well, but you have to keep in mind that the testing, as I'm reading this, and again, we have a little more clarification from Hollywood Reporter, but as I'm reading this initially, I'm thinking, okay, so the testing, and I'm doing air quotes here for people who can't actually see me on the podcast, we're talking a handful of executives, okay? You know, the top people at Lucasfilm and various executives at Disney, they're the ones who got to see this. And I can see that the people at Disney, who probably haven't been involved in the day-to-day aspects of this, looking at this, it's a different tone than the rest of the Star Wars films on purpose. It doesn't have Luke, Han, and Leia. It doesn't focus on Darth Vader, even though there's speculation he may or may not make a cameo. It's not about Darth Vader. So they don't have any of the instantly recognizable characters, and there's no Jedi. So I can see them walking out of this, no matter how good it is, and having some things to nitpick about. And, you know, they're Hollywood executives. Far be it from them to nitpick about things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just, I'm reading this and I'm like, oh my gosh, can you be more like sensational about what the alleged story is here?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what big budget Hollywood film doesn't go through reshoots? Suicide Squad right now. They apparently not only went through reshoots, they went through some rewrites as a result of Batman versus Superman, and everybody's applauding it. Everybody's saying that was a smart move. And then the test footage so far and the test screenings have been very, very positive. Nobody's panicking about that.
Mm.
So why, with another tentpole film, another tentpole property, doing the same thing that all of the big budget films do, now we're supposed to like freak out? I just don't get it.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a little bit of anxiety going on at Disney right now. Just because for all the reasons you just said, Eric, that, you know, it doesn't have Han and Leia, it doesn't have any Jedi. It's not going to be the same feel as a Star Wars movie, but yet it's got the Star Wars name attached to it. So they don't want people to see this movie that are casual fans that don't know anything about what this was going to be or what it was supposed to be, and walk out of the movie going, I don't get it. You know, I just saw The Force Awakens and this isn't making sense to me.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of that going on. I think they're anxious over that.
And that makes sense. So that's a legitimate concern. That's a real hurdle that they're going to have to overcome.
And, you know, how much of this is Page Six just getting this overblown that, you know, they're making more out of this than it really is.
Right. Now, Mike in the chat room, Mike Templeton from the Sabacc table and the Retro Convo, pointed out that nobody's worried about Suicide Squad because the expectations were low to begin with. Okay, that's perhaps fair. He also said episode 8 got rewrites to add more Finn, Rey, and Poe. Even episode 7 had rewrites. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Poe was supposed to have been killed off.
They had a whole script change.
Yeah. So. Well, that's... but that wasn't a reshoot. That was done before principal photography.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's true, though. They did completely rewrite the story, too.
I like Joel's quote in the chat room. It's a creative process. Did I mention process?
Yeah. It's not exactly finished until it's finished. Yeah. Well, we have a little bit more information here. Hollywood Reporter, I don't know exactly when this was posted. I didn't actually read it until probably about a half hour before we started tonight. And I would not have found it were it not for Club Jade. So even though this is from Hollywood Reporter, I want to give props out to them. So they are saying in their article, reshoots are, quote, happening after execs screened the movie and felt it was tonally off with what a classic Star Wars film should feel like. The film has not yet been tested before audiences, but one source describes the cut as having the feel of a war movie. Yes, please.
Yeah. Wasn't that what it was supposed to be? I mean,
yeah.
Chris, you and Eric were there with me at that screening, or the not screening, but the panel, a celebration for, mm-hmm. you know, this movie. Mm-hmm. And they talked about who was doing it and, you know, people that worked on films such as Black Hawk Down and, you know, Saving Private Ryan were going, yes, that's what we want.
And one of the most,
the studio doesn't.
One of the most memorable sentences from the entire panel, and this probably isn't a direct quote, but it's darn close, was, well, it's got war right there in the title.
Yeah.
Come on. And yeah, that was kind of the elevator pitch for this film. This was the selling point. This is why we're all excited.
That was the big thing he was talking about, was that, you know, we are doing this right. We're making a war movie. We're bringing in people that have shot war movies that have been very well received in the past.
Right.
And we got just all excited about that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We wanted that difference in tone. We wanted not that we don't want the classic space opera tone that we get with the saga films, but this isn't a saga film. This is a departure on purpose.
Right.
This is an intentional deviation from that. And I think that this is the opportunity to explore different tones and different styles of storytelling in the Star Wars universe. This is the perfect time to change that tone.
Mm. I mean, if you want every story that we tell on the big screen to be part of the, you know, overall saga in the, you know, in the trilogy format, just do those. Don't do a film like this.
I mean,
I want this film, but if they don't want to give it to us, fine. You know, it's like, don't do it. Don't try to make this film that was supposed to be something different into fit into that same mold.
Don't tease us. Another quote, the goal of the reshoots will be to lighten the mood, bring some levity into the story, and restore a sense of fun to the adventure. So I can understand them wanting to, you know, restoring a sense of fun to the adventure. Okay. But war isn't supposed to feel lighthearted. And if you look at a lot of the stuff they're doing right now with the novels, for example, they are a little darker in tone. It is. I mean, even Lost Stars.
Mm.
The galaxy is at war and people die and planets get blown up. And I mean, the destruction of Alderaan in A New Hope, that it kind of gets glossed over in the theatrical releases in the cinematic universe, but there's reason that we keep coming back to it in the novels, because it's an unimaginably horrific thing.
And not to mention all those people killed in Death Star. I mean, come on.
We finally came back to that, too, in Lost Stars.
Right.
And that's a very real thing. So war is messy and tragic and horrible things happen. And yes, there can be heroic moments and there can be victories and there can be things to celebrate achieving in certain situations. I mean, I don't mean to glorify war. That's not my intention here. But in the context of Star Wars specifically, this is about getting the plans to the Death Star so that they can keep future Alderaan-type situations from happening. And so that's to be celebrated and applauded, but it's still war. Let's show that. Yeah.
Well, the only thing I can kind of equate that to is I'm trying to think back to other movies that were war that may have had a couple lighthearted moments in them. And there were a couple spots in Saving Private Ryan that had a few lighthearted moments in there, not overall tone of the film. If that's the kind of thing they're trying to interject, okay, I can kind of see that. But if they make this into a happy-go-lucky, hey, we're off to get the plans to the Death Star, come on, let's go have a good time here. That's not going to work.
Yeah. This whole situation just confuses me. Because either you go the war direction and you get all of these people who worked on really good war movies and you go all in or not at all.
Right.
And I mean, I hope they prove me wrong, assuming all of this is true, but I don't see how you can have a mixture.
Right. I mean, you get people from Saving Private Ryan, from Black Hawk Down, from Zero Dark Thirty. You get them in a room together. They come up with a Star Wars war movie, and then you go to the people who did Saving Private Ryan, Black Hawk Down, Zero Dark Thirty, and you tell them, no, you don't have the tone right.
Yeah.
It's like going almost to George Lucas and saying, no, you don't really understand the Force. I mean, these are the guys who made, these iconic war films of the modern cinematic experience. These aren't the guys you go in and say, no, you don't really get it. You're not doing it right.
Yeah.
And the other thing I don't understand, too, the script's been out there. It's not like they didn't have access to the script. It wasn't like it wasn't approved by, Kathleen Kennedy read the script and every variation of it. This has already gone through some vetting. This has been approved. They got the green light for this at various different stages along the way. And I have a really hard time believing that it is in such disarray that they have to make radical changes. Listen, reshoots, fine. Maybe changing, like what you said, the tone of certain moments. Okay. I mean, yeah, we don't want to come out of the movie depressed and with our hearts heavy and feeling like we just got rammed in the chest with a battering ram or something. But, we do want it to be a little more warlike.
Yeah, but I mean, think of other war movies that you came out of. You may not have felt, happy. Hey, this is a great first date movie, but you didn't feel just totally depressed either coming out of things like, Saving Private Ryan, for example. I mean, yeah, the first 20 minutes were horrific and I was exhausted watching it, but you came away from that movie with a greater sense of what went on and an appreciation of what went on, as well as not being totally depressed at the same time. It was decent.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it still felt like a war movie.
Right. I don't know about this. I hope that they manage to keep the main tone overall. If they keep the tone, but they just bring it down a notch, okay. If they insert some lighthearted moments, that's fine. But I hope they don't really change the overall tone of the film. I hope they don't you know, zoom out of the film and say, now this is just too dark, and try to lighten the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think that that would be a big mistake. But again, I have a hard time believing that at this point in the game, there are major, 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 major problems that they are, quote, in a panic about, and that there are major rewrites. And, you know, I mean, if they were going back to the drawing board for a lot of the film, I would think that 4 weeks wouldn't be enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Plus, it's pretty late in the process, too. So, you would think if they wanted to change the tone at all, it would have been way early on, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we've already seen a trailer, so I don't know how you can change what we've seen in the trailer, which looked pretty intense to me.
Yeah, some of it did. Yep.
I imagine a lot of it's going to be in editing, and they'll probably introduce some new conversations, some, God help us, some humorous moments. which, you know, if it centers around the droid, that sort of thing, you know, that's fine, but. Yeah, that's the thing. I think that they're going to change most of it in the editing room. And I think that what they're doing is they're just going back and doing some pickups for things that they want to be able to kind of splice throughout the film. I don't think it's going to be.
Well, no, Eric, these are expensive reshoots. These aren't just, you know, pickup lines here and there.
Oh, well, yeah, no, I forgot.
Now, you know, here, let me just pull this pin and throw the grenade in here for this one.
Uh-oh.
Wasn't the original release date supposed to be, like, May for this movie? Shouldn't we have already seen this by now? I mean, they already pushed it back once, right? I mean...
Yeah. But...
Just saying. Just saying.
I don't think that this is why it got pushed back.
Just trying to stir the pot a little bit, sorry.
I know. Well, you know, at some point that's going to be brought up. If I logged into Twitter, it probably already has by now. But no, that scheduling was done way in advance.
Yeah, no, I know. I hope this is all blown out of proportion. I hope there's nothing that's, you know, going to change the story that they've already got down on paper and on film dramatically. I mean, you can edit things and change things over there, but. It's like Chris said, it's kind of late in the game to be doing some major rewrites if that's what they're doing, which I don't think they are.
Yeah.
I think this is just typical Hollywood stuff going on that the executives don't like something. And that's what worries me the most about this is the studio being heavy handed with what Gareth Edwards wants to do, or are they just saying, hey, I'm going to change this, and this, and go ahead and do it. Whenever you have a studio meddling with what a director does, the movie never comes out great. Things get fouled up. They, you know, it's conflict of vision, and you get something that comes out in the theaters that we're like, okay, that's not really, doesn't really make any sense.
Right.
So that's what worries me the most. If that is what's going on, then I am, you know, going to go find Mr. Little and talk to him.
Resikai in the chat room brought up that, it almost sounds like maybe one or more of the characters die, and maybe that's too heavy, and the executives wanted to. Death in Star Wars is something that's always been treated a certain way, and I can see where if they had too many of the main characters die, or the way in which the characters die, I can see where that's maybe something the execs would want to change. And in fact, I imagine that one or more of the main characters do die because, again, it is a war film. That sort of thing does happen in war. I mean, you're not a lead character in a war. I mean, look at, World War II, storming the beach, Normandy, and et cetera. It's not like you had... a Tom Hanks character, and that guy's fine. That's the guy you want to be standing next to as you run up the beach. No, I mean, everybody's fair game. So you have to figure that some of the lead cast will not make it through this film alive. So I wonder, now that Reskai brings it up, And Kyle in the chat room agreed, you know, people need to die in this movie. I agree. That's part of the narrative of war. War is not without cost and not without casualty. And that's one of the reasons why war in general needs to be looked at more closely and not, you know, leapt into half-heartedly. There are consequences. There are costs. And those costs are lives. And those affected by those lives, the survivors, the families, the, you know, the widows, etc. So I think if they take that out, that may adversely impact the film. I don't know. Any thoughts on that? You guys think that that's possibly what some of the concerns are?
I don't see why anyone would be concerned that a character is going to die. I mean, it's not like any of these characters show up in the rest of the original trilogy, so I don't even see, like, it's not like, you know, the Clone Wars was, where you know that all of the Jedi can't die because they show up in episode 3.
Right.
I mean...
But here's a movie where you know... Like you just said, Chris, we don't see any of these characters, even the main character, past this film, at least not yet. We have no idea whether any of them survive. So we are supposed to become emotionally invested in these characters throughout the film, and one or more of them may die. But what if, you know, they start dying one by one by one, and out of a cast of, I don't remember how many people are in the cast photo, let's say 8 people in this crew... 6 of the 8 of them die, and there's 2 left at the end. Or 7 of them die, or all 8 possibly. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's what they're saying is too heavy. I mean, yeah, you know, people die, and people have died in other Star Wars movies, and, you know, and you're right, Chris, these aren't necessarily really important characters, but for this film, they have to at least be important enough for us to emotionally invest. So, I don't know. It's a possibility. It's as good an argument as anything else. I don't know. I'm curious, but I'm not really that worried about it. To me, the only thing that this could really mess up is if they change the tone and make it too much fun, too lighthearted, and not gritty enough. I think that would be... That would do the film a disservice. But the fact that it's getting reshoots. People, come on. Anyway. Any other final words on that before we move on?
No, I think we've given its due course.
All right.
I'm just curious to see what they say at Celebration Europe now. Hopefully we get some kind of trailer or something so we can have a better idea of what... You know, it's actually going on.
You know, it. I'm wondering if that's going to get addressed. I imagine they probably won't let anybody do interviews with them, but because if they do at this point, that's going to be the first question out of anybody's mouth. It has to be.
Right. Right.
I mean, you'd be a negligent journalist if you didn't ask Edwards that question.
Mm-hmm.
So. I don't know. Hopefully something will be revealed at Celebration that will at least put some of this to rest.
Yeah.
Chris, I understand that you recently acquired something very interesting.
Yes, I would say so.
Why don't you tell us about it?
Okay, so I recently bit the bullet and purchased the Star Wars Ultimate Vinyl Collection. Anyone that knows me, you know, remotely well offline knows that I collect vinyl, and I knew I had to have this despite its $200 price tag.
Wow.
Yeah. But I must say I'm actually really impressed with it. It comes in a large square box, and the box just, both sides say Star Wars, and it's actually really nice for a box set because I know some box sets out there are just terrible, but this is really, really well done. It has the soundtracks for episodes 1 through 6. And the special thing about this is up until now, the episode 2 and 3 did not have vinyl releases. So right. If you want the vinyl release, at least for now, this is the only way to get it. And each, it comes in replicated gatefold sleeves. And each, each album is two LPs each.
Okay.
And the one difference, well, episodes 1 through 3 is if you go buy the soundtrack, you know, online or, you know, on CD or something, it's all the same. However, the releases for the original trilogy are different than what most of us are used to. Everyone now is pretty much used to the, you know, extended releases that has pressed pretty much every single track. Well, right. This release is the original soundtrack release. So it doesn't have every single piece of music from episodes 4 through 6, which is a little sad, but it works.
So this is basically because the original trilogy did come out on vinyl back in, you know, the 70s. So this is basically the same track list from the original release, it sounds like.
Correct. Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I haven't had too much time to listen to it on a halfway decent system. But it is, from what I have heard, it sounds wonderful. And I should also note that the download code that comes with it is for the vinyl track list. So anyone who wants to get the ultimate, I think it's called the Ultimate Digital Collection, which I'm pretty sure contains the full soundtrack as you can go buy them today. This just has like what you get on the actual albums, not every single bonus track.
Okay.
So that was a little disappointing, but in a way it's still kind of cool because.
But you're not buying it for that. You're buying it for the vinyl.
Exactly.
So.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I like too is because I actually have original copies of episode 4 and 5 on vinyl already. And I can tell you for a fact that the replication is pretty much perfect. Literally down to every detail. The original Star Wars vinyl came with a poster. This one also comes with a poster. Same thing. And Empire Strikes Back has a little mini booklet inside. Well, does it have? Yeah, it has a mini booklet inside the when you open the gatefold. So it's actually really, really nice. And I would say it's worth the money. Especially if you want episodes 2 and 3 on vinyl, you can buy one, but not the rest. So,
and of course, for those who don't know why it's so much more expensive on vinyl and why this is such a big deal, we could get into the technical explanation of why vinyl is actually different from the MP3s you're listening to and the digital music that you download. But in a nutshell, basically, the vinyl listening experience is a very different sound to it. You're replicating frequencies that are generally just completely eliminated in MP3 format.
Exactly.
Anything above 20 kilohertz, anything below 20 hertz.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know this 100%, but... I think the mastering for the MP3s of this collection is better than what you can buy from the Ultimate Digital Collection.
Okay.
So I'm not 100% sure about that. That's if honestly, if you really wanted to answer that question, anybody listening, ask David Collins because he would know.
Okay. Now, quick aside to this, The Force Awakens is not on vinyl yet, right?
Yes and no. It's already out on Picture Disc, which if you don't know what Picture Disc is, it's the soundtrack on an album, but it doesn't come in a sleeve. And the front and back covers of the disc have pictures on them. I think one of them, I want to say it's, I think it's a double LP release, and it has Kylo, Rey, Han, and Finn, or something like that, on the covers. But they are releasing just a normal Force Awakens soundtrack in the sleeve and everything soon. I don't know when the actual date is, but...
Okay, and that's the one that'll have the hologram on it.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yes, that will have a hologram when you when it spins and you shine light on it in a certain way, it has a hologram.
Nice. All right, so this is episodes 1 through 6.
Yes.
Two vinyl discs per film.
Correct.
And retail is $200.
Yes, and actually, I'm lying to you. Return of the Jedi is only one LP, but the rest of them are two.
Okay.
Yes, it is $200, and if you shop around, you probably can get it cheaper. I'd also recommend asking independent record stores.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one I ordered mine from was a local shop, and his was $190 retail.
Okay.
So...
Now, I don't know if that's...
Support the local guys, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if this is the case with this particular release, but I'll say that for this type of thing in general, whether it's some kind of collector's edition for a video game or whether it's a limited edition run for a toy, an action figure, some sort of a collectible, this sort of thing, it's probably not got a huge print run. Mm-hmm. So if you're at all interested in this, I imagine you'd probably want to at least start checking into it relatively soon.
Exactly. I would probably say that by the time the next US celebration comes around, assuming we don't see another, you know, release like this for the sequel trilogy, mm-hmm. this will probably be, you'll probably have to shell out lots of money for it at like at a convention or something.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be 2 to 3 times the price of what it was.
Exactly.
In the aftermarket.
All right, now, Chris.
Yeah.
Here's your quest.
Okay.
Get everybody to autograph it.
Oh.
That'd be awesome. Wait, Eric, you mean like you and me?
Yeah.
Or... Okay.
Oh, you thought I meant like the cast of... Oh, no, no. No, I meant like me and Lou.
Everybody on the network, yeah.
Why would you want anybody? You don't want, like, Mark Hamill and stuff, you know, scribbling his name all over that. That's valuable.
I would definitely carry this around in my backpack for 4 days at a convention if it meant I could get people to sign it.
That would be fun.
I bet.
You know, I must say, I'm looking on Amazon, I see it on there, and it's kind of funny because, you know, Amazon shows different versions of something when you pull it up. Well, I pulled up Star Wars The Ultimate Vinyl Collection. It shows, you know, below it are the different options, and, you know, vinyl is $199.99. I can also get this on CD. Like, wait. It's Ultimate Vinyl Collection
on
audio CD.
Part of me wants to get that just so that I can display that somewhere.
But when you click on it, I'll give them some fair bits here that it does say the Ultimate Soundtrack Collection instead of the Ultimate Vinyl Collection.
Well, yeah.
That's always funny when you bring it up. I'm like, oh, an option for CD. Awesome.
It is.
Defeats the purpose.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Echo Base. Like I said, listen to the next episode of Random Chatter, even if you normally don't hit that show. I think what we're going to be covering this week is going to be pretty relevant to Star Wars fans. In fact, we'll probably be looking at things not exclusively from the point of view of us being Star Wars fans, but it'll have a very heavy Star Wars leaning toward it. So check that out. That'll be over at randomchatter.com, or, of course, you can get it in the iTunes stream or Twitter or Stitcher. I meant Stitcher, not Twitter. I'll get to Twitter in a moment. But first, email us, echobase@randomchatter.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts, especially on Rogue One. And, you know, what you're looking forward to about it. What you think would be a good way to handle the tone of Rogue One. Let us know. Echobase@randomchatter.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. You can find us on Twitter at Echobase Podcast, at Random Chatter. I'm at Eric Blythe. That's E-R-I-K-B-L-Y-T-H-E. Lou, where can we find you?
I'm at Lou Secchi, L-O-U-S-E-C-K-I.
All right. And Chris, where can we find you?
At The Curse of Chris.
All right. You can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. We've got the whole network selection over there. Check us out live on Tuesday and Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern. Maybe a few minutes after that as we get set up and everything. But go to randomchatter.com/live. We've got the stream there as well as the chat room. Or you can log into Ustream and find us that way. Just search for Random Chatter. We would love it if you tell your friends about us. Maybe leave some reviews on iTunes or Stitcher. And quick shout out to all of our Patreon donors. Thank you so much for your support. If you're curious about Patreon, head over to patreon.com/randomchatter. We've got some posts there of some past bonus content. And there's a list there of all of the different perks that we have available. So that's it. We are going to sign off for this week here at Echo Base. So until next time, stay warm and take care.
The Force will be with you. Always.